Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 4. I invite you to stand. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Christ. While we remain standing, I'd like to offer to you our scripture lesson for the sermon. I'll be reading Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. 16 through 23. The word of the living God. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Thus far the reading of God's word. And all of God's children said, Amen. Heavenly Father, in your kindness, bore out our ears to hear your voice. Open our eyes to see you in your ways, and enliven us to be faithful followers of you. We pray this according to your provision and your welcome through Jesus, in whose name we pray, and amen. You may be seated. Today we will look at this passage, which has become for many a very confusing passage of Scripture. This is often due to a failure to recognize the immediate context, what's going on. We will try to understand what's going on in this passage and then make a couple of points of application for us today. I'd like to open with some questions for you. Here we are. What happens when you follow Jesus? Now, if this was Wednesday Bible study, I'd wait for you to answer. Waiting. What happens when you obey Jesus? Children can participate in this too. What happens when you obey Jesus? Husbands, participate in this. What happens when you obey Jesus? Wives, mothers, what happens when you do what Jesus actually asks you to do? What happens? We're going to pick up those questions again at our conclusion. I'd like to take a running start into this passage to remind us and to rev us up for what's going on. Here's a bit of a review. Our Lord has called His 12, a new 12, and they are commissioned and sent out. They are followers of Jesus. They are His followers, a brand new 12. And these 12 have had great experiences with Jesus. They have witnessed wonderful things, things that they would have never imagined to be even possible. They never thought they would have ever seen these things. They have seen amazing power on display. These 12. Demons were removed. Who would have thought that was possible? Demons removed out with one word, out. Go. The dead were raised. What? The little girl was dead. Little girl, I say to you, get up. We saw this. A flow of blood was stopped, and a lady became whole and healthy, physically, and welcomed back into the worshiping community. Those who were distant were brought near. Those with the dreaded disease of leprosy, clean. The wind and the waves were made peaceful. Who would have ever imagined this? Jesus commissions the new 12 and he says, go out, you 12, and tell them what I have said. Share my message. Say what I have said. Tell them that my kingdom, the kingdom is right here. Go say that. That my kingdom is breaking in. But that's not all. I want you to also act like me. Do what I did. Verse 8 of chapter 10. Heal the sick. You can do this, you 12. Heal the sick. Cleanse lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I've given this to you. Give it out. The mission is specific. Go only to the lost, decimated, busted up, dying sheep of the house of Israel. I want you to go do this among the busted up sheep of Israel. And as you go, you 12, trust me. Trust me. Don't bring extra money. Don't bring extra clothing. Don't bring extra luggage. Just go. This is a very specific mission, a very particular area that you're going to go to, and very particular people. Oh, and by the way, some will receive you, and some will reject you. But you 12 go. This is amazing. They are ambassadors for the king. They are, if you would have heard this, what would you have said? Yes, we're ready. They're victors already. We're going to say what Jesus said. We're going to do what Jesus did. Absolutely. It's in the bag. We're ready to go. That's why we don't need an extra bag, because we've got this. With all that they have seen, and the fact that Jesus has sent them, and because he has said, go ahead and you do these wondrous deeds, they seem to be invincible. Apparently unstoppable. What's going to slow them down? What can stop them? Sickness? No. We're going to heal the sick. Leprosy? We're going to clean it. Demons? No. We're going to cast them out. Death? We're going to raise the dead. What's going to stop us? And by the way, it's not just power over disease and uncleanness, demons and death. It's also this. Jesus said this. If people do not receive you, it's going to be worse for them than for Sodom and Gomorrah. And so, yes, let's go. They were ready to go. Obedience. Let's get going. Let's get on with it. What will follow obedience? Opposition. Sermon title today, Obedience and Opposition. There it is. Verse 16, our text begins, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Oh, wait a minute. We're being sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did we hear you right, O Lord? Yes. And my lost sheep, my busted up, decimated, destroyed sheep are surrounded by wolves. I'm sending you out to my sheep, and they are surrounded by a pack of wolves. We thought that this would be sending sheep to sheep. Well, it is. You're going to the sheep. But they're surrounded by wolves. So this is a sending of sheep among wolves. This is distressing. This is dinner. This is death. Sheep going out to wolves. I'm sending you out as sheep to be eaten. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said, beware, I want you to watch out for false prophets. There are going to be people telling you things, they're false, and how do you know them? Well, they're going to look like sheep. They're going to be dressed up in sheep's costumes. They're going to be wearing sheep's clothing. But inwardly, if you were to peek into the costume just a bit, you know what you'd see? They're ravenous wolves. They're very hungry wolves. They're chomping, eating dogs. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, the mission field, Israel, is to be located in the middle of devouring dogs. In the book of Acts, Jewish leaders were regularly throwing the followers of the way to the Gentiles, to the courts. But Jesus' followers, what do they do? What do we do? We align ourselves with the sheep, not the sheep eaters. And the church has been confused over this over the years. We think that if we get alongside of the sheep eaters, we might be able to convince them and to sway them and to pull them down. And so some people have actually applauded back in the past the Third Reich in the name of Christ. Christians are not supposed to align themselves with sheep eaters. They're supposed to defend the sheep even if it means they get eaten. Behold, I am sending you forth as sheep in the midst of ravenous wolves. Obedience is dangerous. Obedience leads to opposition. So they are to speak and to do the deeds of their master. If they are rejected, they are to warn those who are rejecting them that what's going to come to you is worse than what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And those who are opposing them do not all of a sudden stop and say, wow, hey, wait a minute. We never thought of that. Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah if we reject you? Wow, we'll stop. We're going to cease and desist right now. Thanks for telling us. Opposition does not lie down. You're going to go out. Some will receive you, some will reject you. And that doesn't mean that once they rejected you, that all of a sudden it's going to stop and be hunky-dory. Because of this, our Lord gives instructions. I want you to go out and be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. That's on your banner. Sheep, serpents, doves, you. Be wise like a serpent. Do your work. Be as harmless as a dove. Don't be foolish. Be wise like a serpent. Fulfill your mission. Be harmless as a dove. Don't sin. If you are going out as sheep, and you are, be wise sheep. Don't drop your guard. They are wolves. There are wolves. Here be monsters. Here be wolves. Here be dragons. Don't get blurry. Don't get groggy. Don't fall asleep. Go out as wise as a serpent and be as innocent as a dove. Bishop Ryle said it well. We need to learn from this. Don't expect more than Scripture and experience warrant. What does Scripture teach you? What does your experience teach you? What have you learned? He goes on, human nature is far more wicked and corrupt than we think. The power of evil is far greater than we suppose. It is vain to imagine that everybody will see what is good for them and believe what we tell them. We think, this makes so much sense. And they say, you're a lunatic. Get up. You're dangerous to society. It's vain to imagine that everybody's going to see what's good for them. Be wise as a serpent. Be as innocent as a dove. Jesus, by the way, is not saying, go out and be snakes. He's not saying, I want you all to be a brood of vipers. That's not what he's saying. He says, be wise as snakes. Don't go looking for wolves. Don't jump in their mouths. Later on, he will say, after you've been persecuted in this city, note that it's very particular here. That's why people get confused in this passage. They think this is exactly what it is for all times. No, when you get persecuted in this city, go to the next and don't tell them where you're going. Be as wise as a serpent, but as innocent as a dove. You don't have to tell them. I like the way Peter Lighthart, what he said about this passage. He said, the disciples don't leave a forwarding address. By the way, you didn't like this? I'm going to go to the next town. And I'm going to be staying in the house of, you know, Tyrannus Rex. That's where I'll be. According to Acts chapter 9, Paul one time left town under the cover of darkness in a basket. Some people, what a coward. No, it's being as wise as a serpent and as innocent as a dove. John Calvin would be known to wear cloaks and disguises at times. People out there trying to kill him. He doesn't just walk up. Redone, whom we support. Baptisms done on a mountain. They don't put out a big banner that says baptisms occurring today. Wise as a serpent, as innocent as a dove. Jesus is sending out his 12. And now the opposition. What's this opposition going to look like? Look at verses 17 and following. The first part of this opposition is religious and then civil. Beware of others. Beware of men. Verse 17, they will deliver you up to councils. Those are religious courts, by the way. They're going to let you stand before presbytery. They're going to have some kind of judgment going on. And they're going to scourge you, flog you, beat you in their synagogues. Religious opposition. By the way, sheep, I'm sending you out to wolves. They're dressed up to look different. And they're going to put you on religious trial and they're going to beat you in church. These are religious settings. These are religious authorities. You're going forth with a message about the Messiah, and you're going to the lost and the destroyed, the decimated house of a sheep of the house of Israel. They're not going to believe you and give you a royal welcome. Oh, so glad you're here. They will hold religious courts to condemn you, and then they will religiously beat you up. By the way, in John chapter 16, Jesus, by the way, he tells us this, he tells the disciples here to increase their faith. I'm telling you this before it's going to happen. I know all of this. In John 16, Jesus says, I'm going to tell you this before it happens so that you will believe. But do you know what he says in John 16, verse 2? They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you thinks that he offers God service. The Greek word is worship. He thinks that he's worshiping God by killing you. Lord, I have done this service in your name. Those people were scoundrels. They're messed up. That's the religious opposition. What's next? The civil opposition. Civil authorities. Once they hear word out there that you are a religious nut job, that you're a nuisance to society, you're going to the cities of Israel, you have embraced the Messiah, and they're all going, we've been waiting for the Messiah, and we don't believe in that Messiah. Once they determine that you're a nuisance to their cities, they're going to get the authorities involved. The governors and the kings, that's local and regional. You're going to be put on trial, Jesus says. This will be a public scene. You will be a public spectacle. The masses will be stirred up. People will hear about things, and they only know this much, but then they'll offer their own post about it. The mob will be active. Opposition does not take a nap. Jeremiah, in our Old Testament reading, told the truth, the word of the Lord, King Zedekiah, people of Judah. The Chaldeans are coming, and you will be destroyed. Some of the princes, some of the priests, some of the king's advisors were saying, this guy is weakening the hands and the knees of everyone around here. He is saying things that we don't want to hear. What do? They put Jeremiah in a dungeon, in a cistern. It was dry somewhat, only mud. And Jeremiah was lowered down by ropes and he began to sink. And you could have heard the sound. If there was a soundtrack to Jeremiah 38, it would have been down, down. And all of a sudden, Obed-Melech, servant of the king, the true servant of the true king, goes to Zedekiah and says, he's going to die in there. So he lowers more ropes down along with old clothes and rags. And Jeremiah, put these under your arms. Jeremiah does so that when they pull him up out of that sucking mud, his arms aren't ripped off. Servant of the king cares for the... But the prophet was thrown in there for being faithful. Our epistle reading today from Philippians chapter 1. Paul is preaching the gospel. What happens? He's in prison. What does the Lord do through that? The palace guard, the imperial guard, meets a Christian. Wow. And Paul is saying, Philippians, I don't want you to be distressed about what's happened to me. This has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He's been faithful and he's thrown in prison. Andrew Brunson, faithful, thrown in prison. And what happens after that? Windows are open for the gospel. That's what was going on with Paul in Philippians 1. And by the way, when Paul ends Philippians 1, you know what? Philippians 1, he says this. By the way, it's going to happen to you too. It's going to happen to you. You've been given something by God, faith and the opportunity to face opposition. Jesus gives power to the 12. Again, Dr. Lightheart says this, but he does not give them power to escape persecution. Amazing power. Amazing words. Demons and death. Diseases and uncleanness. But not the power to escape persecution. All of this happens, according to verse 18, as a testimony to others, to those who are persecuting you, and to the wider world, to the Gentiles. This is why the Lord allows it. This is why the Lord appoints it. Why do trials come to you? Oh, was the Lord shocked? Oh, I took a nap. No. Everyone in here has faced trials, difficulties. You've been confused, sometimes because of your own sin, sometimes because of the sin of others, sometimes you just don't know why. Everything that the Lord allows for His testimony. You are to be a testimony of the Lord. Verses 19 and 20. When this happens, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Spirit of your Father will speak in you or through you. Luke chapter 12 says it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you. What's been going on in Matthew's gospel? We are supposed to be children of our Heavenly Father. And whatever happens from us is a testimony of our Heavenly Father. The Father is going to be speaking through you. Now this is very particular at this time, a distinct provision for the Lord for them at that time. But you know what's true of us? We are always living testimonies of our Lord. Your testimony is not your own, it's of the Lord. If the Spirit of God is present in your life, you know what? It's pointing to Christ, speaking of Christ, not of you. One writer said that any time the truth of Christ is proclaimed, deeds and declaration, it's spirit speech. It's spirit speech. Jesus says, you know, you 12, you're in this place because of your testimony of me. Because of me. Jesus says this is going to happen, and you are supposed to tell the truth at such a time, at such a place, in such a place. So there we are. Religious opposition, civil opposition, people that can throw you in a dungeon, put you in prison, silence you. Can this get any worse? Yes. Verses 21 and 22. The family becomes involved, and the larger public becomes involved in rejection and hatred. The family. This is sobering. This is weighty. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death. Yeah, these guys that worship together, these guys that played ball together, these guys that climbed trees together, a brother is going to say, you're gone. A father, his child. By the way, according to the book of Deuteronomy, this is a covenant curse when families are eating and devouring family members. This is an abandoned covenantal people when they're devouring one another. This is why Paul says, stop biting and devouring one another. I don't like that. Stop it. Also, children, their parents. Parents are nuts. Hand them over to death. Death, death, death. Remember, the civil authorities are involved now. They have the power of the sword. And if any one of these fanatical religious extremists get out of hand, the civil authorities can silence them. They've got a final solution. And of course, they will do so for the good of the larger society. So how does this happen in that context? Someone, a family member, a brother, a parent, a child, embraces Jesus as Messiah, as the King. Because all the Old Testament prophecies and the promises are making sense in Him. This one teaches like no one else. He says things and does things that no one else can do. And the Scriptures were all pointing forward to Him. And the Spirit of God has been present. And all of a sudden, eyes are open, scales are falling, hearts are inflamed, and they say yes to Jesus. Someone in a family. Someone else then in that same family blows the whistle. They betray them because in their mind they have betrayed the ancient paths, the history. They have betrayed Israel. They have denied the past and the history, and they have gone over to the movement. So their line would be something like this. You know, when the family member asks, why'd you do this? I'll tell you why. You first betrayed the old ways before I betrayed you. Now, later on in the history of the church, there will be people that will recognize that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the sacrifices and all the feasts after His death. All of that's going to come together, and people are still going to say, you deserve to die. And they're going to think they're doing religious service by killing, by putting you forth to be dead. So we've got religious, civil, family. Oh, and you know what happens next. Word gets out. You know how it works. Somebody in a church, they say something about a church. Those people are this way. Religious. Gets out to the civil, to the public community. Really. Then families begin to whisper. And then Jesus says in verse 22, and you will be hated by all. The larger public is involved now. They don't even need to have all the facts because in their mind, they'll use an old line. It's a bumper sticker line. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And they never peeled the bumper sticker off to see what it was covering up. And what it was covering up, it says this, where there's smoke, there might be a smoke machine. There's no place to hide now, nowhere to run. Everyone is now involved. Where can you turn? Jesus says to His 12, I'm going to send you out and this is what you're going to face. And it's my testimony. Oh, you will be facing the exact thing Jesus faced. You bear my name. It's thought to be revolting and restrictive. Harsh. You will be accused of being harsh and unloving. Did you really say that? Can we really have an elected official who actually says this? That's so narrow, so rude. I got to post something about this. That's what I'm going to do. It's just offensive. You will not even make it through all the cities of Israel until the coming of the Son of Man. Some people go, Bible contradiction, Bible error. No, they don't understand the Bible. Let me explain. The coming of the Son of Man. You know something. In Matthew's Gospel, there are three prominent mountains. The mountain of the Sermon on the Mount. There's the mountain of Transfiguration in about the middle. And then at the end, there's the mountain of commissioning where Jesus sends forth his disciples. At that middle mountain, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. And they get a glimpse into who he is, the Son of Man. They get a glimpse into who he is, the fulfillment of all the promises. They get a glimpse into his glory. Mark's gospel says it well. They looked at it, and it was so white and bright, brighter than any launderer could make things on earth. That's what Mark said. Love the little details. Right before that, Jesus had this to say in Matthew 16. Remember, we're wondering about the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus said this, "Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here today who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The very next verse, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain and they get a glimpse into his glory. Now, what is this coming of the Son of Man? It is a coming in judgment. There's an end of an age that's occurring here. Jesus sends the 12 out because there's an end of an age, the end of the age of anticipation and expectation. All of those promises and prophecies are pointing forward to Jesus. He says, you know what? I'm sending you out to be my witnesses. You're going to act like me. You're not even going to make it all the way through Israel till the end of this age occurs, the age of anticipation and expectation. It's the age prior to the ascension of the king. That's what's happening here, and it's going to happen all the way through Acts. By the way, how does the book of Acts open? It opens with the ascension of Jesus Christ, which is his enthronement as king. And then what goes on throughout the Acts of the Apostles? There's ministry to the Jews. They reject. Ministry to the Jews. They reject. And by the time we get to the end of the Acts of the Apostles, we find the ministry has turned to the Gentiles, to the Romans. The book of Acts ends in Rome. Oh, and by the way, the confirmation, the exclamation point, destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Done. No more sacrifices. Jesus is the final sacrifice. No more priesthood. Jesus is the final priest. No more temple. Jesus, his temple of his body was destroyed and raised up, and now his body is the temple. Whew. There's our passage today. Distinctive warnings for that mission, for that time. 2 points of application. I would like to summarize them and then talk about them. Here we go. Awareness. Next, asleep. Read this passage, we look at this passage, and before I say amen, are we aware? Here's the questions with which we began the sermon today. What happens when you follow Jesus? What happens when you follow Jesus? What happens when you do what you are supposed to do? What often follows obedience? Opposition. And so many, even in the church today, would say, I didn't sign up for this. Really? Can we not learn from our Lord, from Jeremiah, from Paul, from the 12? This is the case with all types of obedience that the Lord has given to us. No one can check out right now. This is true from the pulpit to the pew. It's true. It's true for all of us. Parents and brothers and sisters and friends, each one of us, when we are following Christ, when we are obeying Christ, we are declaring the kingdom and we are demonstrating the demands of the king. So here we are. What happens when you obey in your marriages? Get about it. Watch what happens. You're going to think, hey, you know what? The breezes are going to blow and it's going to be nice and whew. What happens when you start obeying the Lord in your parenting? Why is it so deep? Children to parents, start obeying your parents. Honor your father and mother so that you will not be eating a diet of death. And all of a sudden something difficult happens. fellow workers in the church. Warning, if the Lord blesses, it's because He's preparing us, and the Lord has blessed us. And so what happens is all of a sudden there's this knocking, or there's this ticking away for something to eat away, and so that we can start devouring one another. And you know what will happen when people devour one another? They always blame the other person. Yeah, you wouldn't have done that. Start obeying and get ready. Our gospel reading today, the devil was persistent. And Jesus was more persistent. By the way, also, when we're right in the midst of something, children, you may know, the Spirit of God might have laid it upon your heart that you need to have a more compliant, pliable, honorable, humble spirit. And then something will immediately arise that will push you, it'll be a trigger moment. You're going to start looking for a safe spot, and you're going to get all, that's right when you need to lean upon the Holy Spirit. Go, what is the right thing to do right now? By the way, in this, we're giving our testimony. We're speaking of whom we belong. That's aware. Are we aware? We can learn that from this passage. Next, asleep. Question, have we been lulled to sleep? I admit, when I hear about Pastor Radone baptizing secretively, I have a couple of thoughts. First of all is, wow, that's rough. Second thing is, we are incredibly blessed. We're wonderfully blessed here. But I wonder if our blessedness leads us to snooziness. And we're counting on the snooze alarm. Oh, it hit it again. I've told some of you before, years ago I received a voice snooze alarm. Talk about the essence of laziness. You can be sitting over there and it goes off and you can say, ah, and it just goes quiet. You don't have to get up and touch it. One author said this, admittedly, there's not much hated by all against Christians and Christianity in our day. There's not much of that. Looks like some of that's changing. Is this because of the Lord's blessing upon us? Is this because of residual blessings? You can still feel the water slick of baptisms of ages gone by? Or is this because we are not telling the truth about the name of Jesus? Let's admit it. Some are ashamed to speak of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as Lord, King, Savior. I don't want to talk about that. Somebody's going to think I'm a nut. Being wise as serpents and as innocent as doves, we need wisdom. We need to pray to the Lord for wisdom. Again, J.C. Ryle points out two directions which we may err with regard to this. With regard to have we become lazy? Oh, you're not going to talk anything about the name of Jesus Christ? He says we could be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. The one error is to avoid persecution by holding our tongues and keeping our religion entirely to ourselves. By the way, the public court of opinion loves that. You can be as religious as you want as long as you keep it to yourself. Bless you. The other is to court persecution by thrusting our religion upon everyone we meet without regard to place or time or circumstance. But you know, this is what he says. The extreme into which most are liable to fall in the present day is that of silence and cowardice and letting others alone. Oh, I'm all right practicing what I preach. I'm just not all right preaching what I practice. Yeah. We need to pray that the Lord will give us salty, gracious boldness. We're not to go out and be foolish serpents jumping into the mouths of wolves. We need to be wise as serpents and bear testimony of Jesus Christ. For the Lord has blessed us. Let us be on guard so that He is honored and not we ourselves. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the courage to represent You rightly. Grant us a vibrant faith which is wise as a serpent and as innocent as a dove. Bless us with Your wisdom so that we may speak rightly in a timely fashion and fittingly. Holy Spirit, do prompt us to speak and to bear witness of Jesus. Also, give us witness, wisdom, so that we may recognize trials as times of Your care and given for our growth, and so that our testimony will be of You and not of ourselves. We pray this through Jesus our Lord, and all of God's people said,